The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. This is Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today's date is September the 29th, 2016. It is a Thursday afternoon, and we have a couple of guests lined up for you today to talk about some very important topics. During the first half hour, we will be speaking with Marcus L. Walker about a community healing project called Bridging the Gap, The Exchange, which will focus on working with professional athletes and the police to address the issues of, and I quote, negative encounters experienced within the black community. Referred to as a leader for change, Walker has been a public service luminary for over 20 years with a variety of industries such as nonprofit management, education, music, athletics, urban development, and civic planning. His experience also includes former U.S. State Senate candidates. So we will be talking to him today in just about a couple of minutes about his community project that he is launching. After we speak with Mr. Walker about, I would say, 4:35, we will be joined by our regular contributor, Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project. And, of course, we're going to continue our long-running discussion on the corporate sponsorship of the violent and misogynist music piped into black communities that violence is occurring on a daily basis. So when we talk about the often used excuse of cops fearing black people and things like that, like Mr. Rasuli has stated in the past, they're probably getting their negative images of black men, women, and children from the corporate media, which 90% of is controlled by six media corporations. And I was reminded of that today by Rap Rehab, which is run by Paul Porter. Afterwards, after the interviews, I will take a look at some of the news that has been shared in our new social media platform, btrcommunity.com. So that's what's up for today. If you have any questions or comments for our guests today or the topics that we will be discussing, by all means, you can give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to come in on air. Or you can also call us on the studio line, which is 704-951-5030. So bear with me as I work to bring Mr. Walker on into the broadcast.
Hello, this is Marcus Walker.
Greetings to you, Mr. Walker. This is Scotty Reed of Black Talk Radio News, and we are live on air, and I just want to thank you and your assistant for reaching out to us and bringing this community project to our attention so we can bring it to the attention of our listeners. So welcome to Black Talk Radio News, sir.
Absolutely. Glad to be here today.
All right, so I've already given the listeners a little bit about your background and your 20 years of experience in a variety of industries, but I want to focus most on your current project called Bridging the Gap, The Exchange. So if you would just lead us in conversation about what you are seeking to address through this program, what you need to make it successful.
Absolutely. Well, again, I thank you for an opportunity. It's all about getting the word out, and we can only make a difference if we're in the know, right? And that's what it's about. And so collectively, Bridging the Gap basically is a proactive program. You know, I've sat back and I've been in the social justice industry for years, and one thing that happens continually is that we're reactive as people, right? Something happens, a shooting happens, we go out, we protest, we pray, we go down to the police station, we camp out, you know, we demand for justice, and those things are great. Let me make sure I clarify that I have nothing against any of those, because there is an avenue for each and every one of those roles, right? I mean, And people have to do them. But one thing I know that is when we're reactive, we're not addressing the root of the problem oftentimes, right? And so I just started looking at things and what can I do with my skill set, with my sphere of influence, with my range, and what can we do to make a real tangible difference, something we can grasp. And so Bridging the Gap, basically, I started thinking about this. Well, what's the biggest problem between police and community? And it comes down to fear. When most of the time when one of us gets killed in the community, it's because these cops have this fear thing, right? And so they're quick to draw weapons. And so my thing, I started saying, well, how can we break down this fear, right, this wall of fear? There's two walls of fear, by the way. It's parallel, right? It's police and their fear of community citizens, young black males. And then in the community, we have fear of the police. Let's just be honest. When we see that cop car riding down the street, we immediately straighten up. We think, uh-oh, he's going to stop me for no reason. I mean, so there's a fear wall there. And so my thing is, how do we now get to these various communities, go in and make a change? And so Bridging the Gap came together as far as wanting to partner with athletes, because they have a huge voice, huge influential voice, and wanting to partner with them and then adopt cities to go in and what I call recalibrate, which is basically another word for retraining, the way we think about each other. And starting with the police, right? And so we go in, we do sensitivity training, we do poverty simulations, and actually put them through activity so that there's a different understanding about the place you work, the place that you police. We want them to start loving where they work, right? And so, and by the way, let me say this is not no kumbaya, right? We're not out to try to make everybody love each other. We're not going to eliminate racism. That's impossible, boy. But if you look in the dictionary and you look at Bridging the Gap, that simply means to take two things at opposite spectrums and reduce the difference between them. And that's all we're trying to do. And city by city, we go in and we re-engineer, recalibrate the way that police are policing their communities. Simultaneously, we'll work with the community and find some accountability partners and match them up. And that way, it's an ongoing partnership. And that's what we're trying to do for every city. And by the way, we're doing this for free, right? That's the catch-all here. We're doing this because we don't want to get held up by red tape, by budgets, by permissions, all the things that seem to delay us and make a real change.
I have quite a few questions, but based off of the things that you have said, I want to present a couple of observations. And let me say that I am in agreement with you. While I don't participate in march myself, while I have attended a few protests, I usually are attending these things from a journalistic perspective, although I may be in solidarity with whatever they're, you know, are expressing and what have you. But I do not participate in those type of demonstrations. But at the same time, like you just said, there is an avenue for that. There is a number of tools that we should be using, and I see that, you know, mass demonstrations are a tool sometimes to force our political leaders to come to the table and have a discussion about whatever problem it is we want them to address, instead of ignoring us. So there's a role, for all of that. But what you talked about specifically is a program that community leaders in Charlotte, North Carolina, which has been in the news during the past week, which I'm sure you're aware of, after the shooting of Keith Lamont Scott in Charlotte. And I don't live in Charlotte. I have family in Charlotte. I have lived there, but I live outside in a rural area. But I do, I'm a part of the worldwide black community, so I am concerned, wherever these issues pop up. But what you just mentioned is a program that the NAACP in Charlotte, as well as other community faith organizations, mainly made up of mostly ministers and pastors who do social justice work, and they have been prominent in these demonstrations as well. But one of the things that this white pastor who is part of that coalition said was that, and I think the NAACP Charlotte leader, Corinne Mack, also stated that they have been having these community, what did she call them? Just basically a community meeting where the police and the community can have a discussion about the issues of what's going on in the community and the police role in our community. And they said that, this had been going on for over a year, and that they have been disappointed that it seems, according to them, that the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department has just flushed all of that hard work in building a bridge to the community down the toilet by some of their conduct during the demonstrations. So that is something that they, something very similar that has been working there. And I just wanted to bring that up, and I'm pretty sure you're aware of any challenges that you might come across. But does that sound like something similar?
Actually, no. And that's why I want to make sure this is why, bridging the gap has been successful, because we're not doing what we have been doing.
Okay.
Let's look at it as a people. What have we been doing? We've marched, we've prayed, we've protested, we've held community forums. That's what we're doing now. And here we are still standing in the same position. I looked at a picture the other day where I had a bullhorn in my hand. It was from 4 years ago, from standing out there at the Trayvon Martin rally, 10,000 people, when I was speaking at a peace rally about how this has to change, right? And here I am 4 years later, and how many deaths can we count that have happened? And we've been holding forums. So this, here's my challenge and my issue with forums. Again, I don't knock anybody. All these things are necessary, but they don't create advancement. At a forum, what usually happens is we get together, we sit down, we talk, and if police are there, all we're going to do is tell them about what we don't like about them. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to appease us, and they're going to listen, and then they're going to walk out of there. But did you get the right players at the table? How about the racist cops? How do you get the cops that are killing us at those forums? They're not at the forums. Let me bust some people's bubble. And this is why the NAACP and Urban League, and again, I'm not against these groups, but we're not creating change because we're having forums with not the players at the table. We don't have them in the game. Okay? And so What do we have to do? We have to change that up. It's not about calling five police officers to the community and having a Tuesday night meeting so we can express our concerns. That's right. Great. But what are those five cops doing with the information?
Right.
Are they retraining their cops? No, they're not. They're going to walk out of there and they're going to say, oh, that was great. Well, we hope that we can continue to build relationships. But then what about the other 1,800 cops on the force that they're going back to?
That's right.
And so what we have to do, bridging the gap, we are going directly to the source. I go to police stations and police departments, law enforcement agencies, and I work with the chief that we can schedule and get 500 officers in the room. And now we're going to spend this Tuesday evening from 6 to 9 talking about recalibrating the way we police, where it's only police in the room. See what I mean? Because now I got the players. Because out of these 500, maybe 200 of them are racist. Now, are we going to change those 200? Maybe not. But we may get, out of those 200 racists, we may get a couple of them to start thinking differently and to maybe slow your roll a little bit on pulling your gun. How about you give us a chance to live, mm-hmm. right? And so it's not happening at these forums. I keep telling people, and they'll trust me, the system will keep appeasing us black folks by just giving us forums because they know that's all we're looking for is a little bit of just a platform to say our voice, but they know that's not creating real change, mm-hmm. all right? So this is why bridging the gap is so important because we're going past that, and we're saying, look here, we're going to retrain the way you think about us. Period. And then what we're going to do is hold you accountable by making you have what we call continuing community credits, just like if you're a teacher in high school, you have to continue to have education credits, right? Well, as a police officer, you are now mandatorily responsible for having 15 to 25 hours of continuing community credits yearly, everyone,
right,
with an accountability partner that you're going to follow up with, and when you don't, we're going to bring it to the media. See what I mean? This is an ongoing repair communities program going directly to the sources. All you community leaders that are out here with the microphone every time there's something happens, well, guess what? We're going to put you up on accountability, and you're going to be responsible for stuff throughout the year, not just when something happens, but we're going to be proactive.
I have one.
And you're going to have a partner on the police force, and we're going to make both of you, you're going to make this community better, period. Mm-hmm. What's gonna happen?
Now, you mentioned that you want to partner with professional athletes because of the influence that they have to address these issues or negative encounters experienced within. Obviously, I'm sure you're aware of Colin Kaepernick, because in the press material that was sent to me, you mentioned Colin Kaepernick's protests and the things that he has said. So, but Kaepernick is focusing on accountability. And not so much as, you know, the policing itself, coming from the perspective that you're coming from. But again, I am, like we say on our program, New Abolitionist Radio, which focuses on 21st century slavery and human trafficking in this country. We say a death to the system by 1,000 paper cuts. So mm-hmm. you know, everybody has a role, and I don't criticize anybody for attempting to counter racism or to eliminate what I call slave catching in our communities. And so I appreciate your efforts, but I do see some things, and you mentioned it. You like, hey, 200 of the cops might be racist. Well, one of the things I've been stressing during this conversation on this program is nobody's bringing up the fact that in 2006, the FBI produced a report called White Supremacist Infiltration in the Police Departments and what have you. And that report can be found online, and I don't hear anybody addressing these terrorists that are in these police departments. Mm-hmm. You have any thoughts on that?
Absolutely, yeah. Again, and I'm with you, cop. We don't knock anyone for what they're trying to do, and it is death by 1,000 paper cuts. Let me turn your mind to war strategy. Anytime there's a war, you have frontliners, mm-hmm. you have strategists in the war room, right? You got people, engineers working the machinery, and so we are at war. We have a place for every single one of the people that are stepping up against injustices, period. Mm-hmm. Some of us are strategists, Some of us are frontliner spokesmen, all right? But you are where you are. But again, let me say this: when you're taking a knee, you're bringing attention to the subject, but we have not said what we want after taking a knee. Okay, and so again, where do we go from here? And so some of it's like I'm doing. I'm addressing the racism up front. Colin Kaepernick is bringing attention to the fact that Scott, who wrote the song, had a third stanza that talked about hirelings and slaves, right? And so this is what we're doing. We've got to call attention to it. We've got to strategize, and we've got to try to cut it off. We've got to still react, and we still got to demand change and on the grand jury level when a shooting does happen. Because guess what? A year from now, we're going to be still talking about this because this is an ongoing fight.
Right.
Right. And so there's a place for everyone in war. Remember, wars aren't won overnight.
Right.
To
your point, and we have about 10 minutes left in this interview, so I want to make sure that, you know, we get out the information. And by the way, you can get more information about the project Bridging the Gap, the exchange, by going to MarcusWalker.com. That's MarcusWalker.com. I have linked to it in the program description. I've used that analogy before, and I don't use it as just simply an analogy. I do believe it's a war going on, and I am former military. I spent 6 years in the United States Army as a communication specialist, and now I have transferred those skills to the nonprofit that I run that's working with media. But I have said, just like when I was in the United States military, when you go in, you take the ASVAB test. That determines what your strong suit is in terms of skills and how much knowledge you have. Based on that test, you will be assigned a job skill where you'll go get more specialized training and then continue your training once you get to your regular duty station. An Army needs a cook. An Army needs a person who's going to take care of the laundry. The Army needs, you know, all these different individuals in different roles with different skills contributing to the war effort. And so I'm with you on that. So have you had any athletes that have stepped up that have expressed that they want to be a part of this project?
I have. We're actually working with a few professional athletes, and for confidentiality, I want to, you know, until they're ready to publicly be that ambassador, I'll keep their names private. But
understood.
I will tell you, there's athletes have expressed that they've been wanting to make a difference but don't know how, and they don't have time. You know, if you're Carmelo Anthony, you're playing ball, and then you're in the Olympics, but you care about your community. You know, he's from Baltimore, and of course, we all know what the state of Baltimore is, but he cares enough, right? And so it's athletes, and all we're trying to get all athletes to do is adopt your city, all right? Bring us to your city. Let's create change between relationally between police and community, and we want them to be a major figure, and we all know how influential athletes are. I mean, they can get people to tattoo their names on their body, right? That's how much we love athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And so certainly when they step up for a voice for injustice, we know that they'll be influential. And let me make sure I thank you for your service as well, you know, for your service to this country.
Well, I don't mean to sound I got to keep it real with you, Mr. Walker. I know that is something that people say to veterans, but let me just assure you, I went in there for college money. That's why I went in. I didn't want to go in debt like my sister and who's still paying off debt. So I saw that as a way for me to get debt-free college money. I did not join for God, country, and all of that. I had no illusions about what I was doing, but that was the only way I saw me being able to further my education without going into debt. So I accept your thanks, but I'm just keeping it real with you, sir. You know, it was during the Gulf War that I read Malcolm X's biography, and I'm sitting over there in Saudi Arabia in a war zone. I'm reading his biography, and it really changed my life, and it changed my view of what my role was in the global system of racism and white supremacy. So I just wanted to say that I'm not rebuking, you know, your sentiments or anything like that. I just try to keep it real, sir.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, everybody has a reason why they join things, right? I certainly wouldn't think even over half the people in our services are just doing it because of the God country, right? I think it's a lot of motives. But at the end of the day, you know, collectively, we still always want to thank our people who have been on those lines and went out there risking lives and you're saving lives. And so,
yeah, and I like to point
for that alone.
Yeah, I like to point out, though, when people bring that up, that a lot of veterans are suffering right now. You got them killing themselves with PTSD. You got a million vets. People don't know this. There are 1 million vets in prison, and I estimate 700,000 of those vets are in prison behind nonviolent drug crimes. Again, trying to treat their PTSD, and I'm not going to, you know, say I know that that's why all of them were using drugs or even dealing drugs or whatnot. There's a lot of vets in prison, and a lot of people do not even recognize this fact. But let's get back to bridging the gap to the exchange. I call myself a modern day abolitionist. I'm part of the modern day abolitionist movement. And in the abolitionist movement, we look at policing's historical role, and their historical role has come out of the slave catching or the slave patrols to keep enslaved Africans, you know, in check and from running off and trying to escape their enslavement. But then at the same time, when the first police departments were created in the 1600s, their main focus was oppressing black citizens who were free. You know, and you just mentioned what Kaepernick pointed out about Francis Scott Key, who was a slaver. But when this man became U.S. attorney, he prosecuted a publisher, an abolitionist publisher, for publishing an article calling out the police brutality in the nation's capital. And so I think it is very important. I think even police need to be made aware of that historic role, and they may then start able to see how some people in the community view them. Does that make any sense?
Exactly what we do. We are recalibrating the way we think. That's why I've got to keep stressing. This is a word that even in the black community, we don't even, you know, a lot of times it's like, what? Recalibrate, re-engineer. We've got to. And so for police, it's the same thing. You know, I met a gentleman when I was in the education realm, and I met a gentleman, a coach. He was 43 years old, white man from a rural, small town in Kansas. You know, he told me that he had never met a black person before he was 23 years old. Wow. So what he said is all he knew about black people was what he'd seen on TV, which was athletes and rappers, right? And he had this prejudice about who we were as a people. Well, guess what? When he got out of college, his first assignment was an inner city school. Wow. Okay. And his whole world was shaken up. He was afraid to go in there. But guess what he told me? After the first day of practice, he realized these young men were just like me. And guess what? I just loved them. And do you know how many police officers probably are like that? Now, I'm not talking about the ones who blatantly have been taught to be racist. I'm talking about the ones who just don't know no better.
Right, right.
But they need to be educated as well, right? So it is about us going and talking about the injustices, why police were created. But again, we've got to make them sensitive to who we are.
Right.
Right?
You pointed out.
Everybody in poverty ain't violent.
Right.
This is what they think. Right? You watch cops all the time. Right.
Right. Yeah. So you pointed out
the way we think.
You pointed out something very important, and we have another guest who will be joining us at 4:35. He's a regular contributor to Black Talk Radio News, Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project, and we'll be discussing that today. And he made a statement about 2 weeks ago on this program, and he talked about many of these cops are getting their negative images of black people from corporate media, particularly the rap industry, where you have these corporations, and I've interviewed artists who had corporate deals who then lost those corporate deals when they would not conform to the negative images that that music company wanted them to portray. So they lost their deals, and that is a huge problem, and it affects not only us as a people when we're getting our young people are processing this violent lyrical content on a daily basis that is being brought to you by McDonald's, Walmart, and many other corporations. But it also, like Brother Rasuli said, cops, when they see Lil Wayne or they see these violent videos, they think that's us. They think that's who we are. So I'm glad you mentioned that media does play a role in the negative thinking of some of these cops that did not grow up around us.
That's exactly right. And that will continue to be the case, right? We know that we can't change the way everyone's household or the way they what's influenced in that household. But once you join to be a public servant, you have a responsibility. And at the end of the day, my mission is to challenge the way that you're doing business. And hey, I got this saying: there's peacemakers, there's peace breakers, and there's peace waiters. Mm-hmm. Peace waiters sit on the sideline and wait for everybody else to create peace. Okay. Right? Peace breakers, well, we know what they are. Right? They have an intention to basically cause harm and cause dissension. And of course, there's peacemakers like myself that's trying to find ways for us to move together. Hey, you know what? I've got friends who want to do the revolution and say, all right, we just need to get our guns. Well, guess what? What kind of end result is that going to have? I'm talking about future here. We're talking about recreating a situation for our future generations to live. And how do we do that? Are we going to do it violently? Okay. How long is that going to last? Are we going to do it just by sitting on the side? Okay. And we're going 40 years later, our children will be dealing with this. Or are we going to proactively try to go and address this ongoing prejudice, right? Again, we won't change everybody, but we will make you more aware of the people that you're dealing with on a day to day. And we're trying to just recognize commonalities between each other. Right. Not the differences, because we got those. I got a difference with my friend. But right. We have more in common than we do different, right? And so we have to address that.
When do you perceive, as we get ready to wrap up our interview, and again, thank you for taking time out of your day to come and speak about this, when do you perceive Bridging the Gap, the exchange, launching? Do you have a timetable?
We've been going already, actually.
Okay.
So, and so we've been in several cities already making a difference, and we now we're just looking to continue to spread. There are 1,800 plus law enforcement agencies which that we're trying to address.
Okay.
I mean, total in the United States, you've got 18,000, and then that equals about 700,000 plus police officers. So, I mean, I'll be doing this for the rest of my life. Understand? I am committed to transformative change in communities across this nation.
Well, I certainly can hear the commitment in your voice, and I certainly appreciate your efforts. Is there anything that you would like to say in closing to our listeners? And again, listeners, please check out MarcusWalker.com. That's Marcus. Am I seeing this correctly? Is it MarcusLWalker.com?
Yeah, I was just about to say, actually, there's an L right in between that, right? So MarcusLWalker.com.
Okay, sorry about that.
MarcusLWalker, MarcusLWalker.com, or my Twitter handle @MarcusLWalker. And that way you keep up with our information. Please support us. We're all part of the difference, and we all need to be the change that we seek.
Well, I certainly would love it if we can call on you time to time to come on and give us some updates or speak on some of the issues close to your heart.
Absolutely. I'd love to be back with you.
All right. Well, Mr. Walker, again, thank you for what you're doing to bridge the gap to bridge the gap and bring peace to our communities. I certainly will be following your efforts. You have a great day, sir.
Thanks again. We'll talk soon.
All right. Peace. All right, that concludes our interview with Mr. Marcus L. Walker. Again, his website is marcuslwalker.com. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, and I didn't really have time to go into it because I wanted him to, you know, be able to tell y'all about his experience. But one of the things he mentioned about some of these professional athletes want to do something that, but they don't know what to do. That would be Trey Boston of the Carolina Panthers, who for several days now, in my opinion, has been expressing frustration that the Panthers players have not done anything. There has been only one player that has shown solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. And when I say that, I mean outwardly showing solidarity. Some of these players, they may be with Colin in heart, but they're not ready yet to take that step with him and do that outward expression. But that was Marcus Ball of the Carolina Panthers, where he raised his fist. I think he raised up the number one or anything. But Trey Boston, his frustration was telling to me, and I'm not going to go all into that, but we got Brother Rasuli on the line, and we want to talk to him. But I can tell that there is a lot of workplace racism that these athletes are dealing with, and particularly the Carolina Panthers are dealing with behind the scenes, all right? And these players have a lot of pressure being put on them. And in some cases, like Cam Newton, his father was the first person I heard come out his mouth with that All Lives Matter crap. And so Cam did come out with some comments that I felt like, you know, he was really trying to stress that he's identifying as a black man. In fact, he said he is, and he recognized that he can become one of those victims, one of those dead black bodies laying in the street. And so before we jump up and criticize these athletes, unless they come out their mouth with something that's just totally whack, you know, we also need to consider what they are going through workplace racism. All right, so if you're not willing to put your job on the line, then I don't feel like you have a place to criticize anybody, you know. So that's the way I feel about that. So again, thanks to Mr. Marcus Walker for coming on to talk about this project. We're going to take a short identification break, and then when we come back, we are joined by regular contributor Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project. Again, we want to continue our long-running discussion on the corporate sponsorship of the violent and misogynist music piped into the black communities that violence on a daily basis is occurring. And again, when we talk about the often used excuse of police fearing black people, again, like Mr. Rasuli said weeks ago, they're getting their negative images of black men, women, and children from the corporate media. And some of them, I feel, they just straight up haters, man. They straight up racist, and they looking to kill. And I will point you to that 2006 FBI report, White Supremacist Infiltration of Law Enforcement. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back on the other side of this short break. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Couldn't it be crazy?
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. We should have Brother Rasuli on the line. We got you, Brother Kwabena.
You got me, brother. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing as well as can be expected under these conditions that we live in here in the United States. How are you today, sir?
Man, I can echo what you're saying, man. It's just a struggle trying to survive the U.S. for Africans. And, every time we talk, you know, the two-week gap gives us time to witness a whole bunch of crazy stuff going on since the last time we talked.
Yeah, since the last time we talked, I saw the article that you shared about, what was it, 9 people killed in Chicago, 45 injured over the weekend?
Yeah, 45 shot, 9 killed, yeah.
That's just crazy. That's just crazy. And before we get into our conversation, Brother Kwabena, let me just address those people out there who are, whenever we talk about police brutality or anything like that, like we were discussing with Mr. Walker, we got a certain a segment of the population that says, well, why y'all don't address black-on-black crime and all of that kind of stuff? Regardless of the fact that for over 30 years, I have been witnessing black people and organizations in the community addressing those issues, and I credit them more with the drop in violent crime than I do anything that law enforcement is doing or any policies politicians have come up with. I think that is the grassroots people who are out there changing minds on the street. Okay, that's what I attribute that drop in violence to. But for those who say that we don't never address the violence in our community, well, every 2 weeks, Brother Kwabena is on Black Talk Radio News, and that is what we're addressing. Is the violence, but we may not be addressing it in the same way you might be addressing it. We're getting to some of the root causes, because there, I don't feel like, Brother Kwabena, there's one single cause, that there are a myriad of issues of why we see violence in our communities, or in certain communities more so than we see in others.
I agree wholeheartedly, you know, and it's man, there's just the numbers from Do Better Now group that points right exactly to what it is. You know, this Clear Channel or iHeart Now controls, has a license for 8 stations in the Chicago area. 8. All the stations in this area, and brother had a meeting I was at last night, because we had always said that Chicago had the second largest concentration of Africans in the U.S. He was saying it has the number one. He said it's number one last night. That's what his brother said last night. I thought New York was number one, but he said Chicago was number one. But all the radio stations, all the main radio stations that target our people are controlled, made a license by European companies.
Right.
So iHeart has these 8 stations. They have one for young Africans. That's called WGCI. They have one for young Europeans. It's called KISS. Now, KISS gives you one sexually illicit song for every 25 that WGCI gives you. KISS gives you one violent song for 50 violent songs or violent references in WGCI. So it's a 50-to-1 ratio of violence. And those numbers correspond to the murders, to the shootings. It corresponds to 98% of the shootings are murders are not white people. 98%. So it corresponds to this crap that they plan.
You know, I just had to point out the cowardice. I don't know if it's cowardice or it's indifference of politicians like Rahm Emanuel and anybody else, any other politician in the United States that's talking about violence and, you know, want to be the law and order type. And why don't they ever, Brother Kwabena, why don't they ever call out these corporations that in a city like Chicago, if I was Rahm Emanuel and I was truly concerned about the violence in Chicago, I would be putting those corporations that are not only playing the violent music that is pumping this garbage into the ears of the impressionable youth, but the corporations who also support that violent music by taking ads out on those stations. Have you ever, as long as you've been, and you've been at this for a while along with others, Brother Kwabena, have you ever, ever, ever heard one of these politicians address it in that way?
No, we had a councilman from Gary. I think Rage Against the Ratchet got the entire council in Dover, Delaware, to deal with this issue and putting a resolution out on that ratchetness. There's little small segments. Congressman Voskoski hooked up with us. He was a congressman in Northwest Indiana, which handled Gary's Hammond and other spots. And that's what Power 92.3 is. He worked with us to try to get the FCC to do that job, which they did not do. We were supposed to meet with Bobby Rush and supposed to meet with him and Danny Davis and other congressmen in this area to, you know, put pressure on the FCC to do their job, to make sure that let the people know that the First Amendment is not protected when it comes to dealing with our children with this ratchetness. They cannot be playing indecent and profane language content between the hours of 6 and 10, which they do constantly. They cannot be playing obscene music ever, which they do constantly. So, yeah, man, but they can do more. They need to do more. I mean, I think they have some hearings years ago, but this is one of the biggest issues that we have going right now. It is a crisis issue. Bob Law from the National Black Leadership Alliance has been, we've been talking on different radio shows around the country recently. One of the things he points out is that, you know, we look at the reparations movement. We look at the movement against police brutality. The name of our forum, the one we're doing in Los Angeles tomorrow, is called Do Black Lives Matter in Hip Hop? We struggle for black lives. We understand that we are against this police terrorism, but we also understand it's part of the same system. But when you break it down, you look at in Chicago, for instance, the first 300 people who were shot in Chicago in 2016, there was only one documented police shooting out of those 300. Only one, and so the rest of them are mostly Africans shooting each other, and so all this stuff has to be dealt with. So but until we deal with this music, which is our culture, which is our way of life, which right now has our youth so dumbed down, so distracted, you know, it's we're not going to get more people more energy for the reparations movement. We're not going to get more people with the righteous thoughts of how to be dealing with this police terrorism. So it's all connected.
More specifically to the area that you and others are focusing on about, you know, the violent music and imagery in music, you have been talking about this tool that people can use if you don't listen to the garbage, which I don't listen to it, but take a couple of hours out of the day, perhaps, to monitor to see if what Brother Kwame is telling you is true for your area. And if you find that it is true, write down the songs, document it in the time that they was played. And you, Brother Kwame, was telling me about another brother who created a tool that you can immediately send a complaint to the FCC. Can you tell people about that?
Yeah, it's on Now Protest is the name of the website, the web portal, which actually, this thing is so nice. It documents protests going on all throughout the world. He has information on protests in Uganda and Britain and India, all throughout the world, in the U.S. And so he saw what we were doing, you know, got his teenage son and felt it. Like, man, I want to put Clear the Airways Project here. So we worked together, and we have a site where you can just go right to Now Protest and go right to Write In. Click Write In, and go right to an email from your email address to the chair of the FCC and send it. We've been encouraging people to read the information because we want people who, I think Sankara just said something about having soldiers who don't know what they're fighting for. You end up having some criminals. So we want people to understand what we're fighting for. So we do want you to read it. But it doesn't take but a second to send it off to the chair of the FCC. Very simple. Right now you can only do it from your mobile device. But it's just telling him you have these regulations. It breaks down the policies where they are. We give him examples of the ratchet, violent, ignorant, vulgar music that's being force-fed to our children constantly. And we're saying that you're in your documents, you say we have to have a safe harbor for our children, you know, and with the media. And so follow your rules. Enforce your policies. Enforce your regulations on these mass media beasts who are telling our children constantly that they should be killing each other, that they should be disrespecting women, that they should be having to listen to songs and say, I'll F your H and pay your bill. I'll have your H, I'll have your hoe on a leash. Mm-hmm. Chop or decapitate and blow his face off. This is on the radio.
Yeah.
This is the type of crap that's constantly on the radio for our children. It's nonstop. Every time our children turn on a radio station on, it targets them. every time multiple N-bombs are being dropped on him. In the song My End by Poor Homie Quan, YG, and Young Sleazy, they drop 121 N-bombs in less than 4 minutes on that song.
What?
In less than 4 minutes. Yes, including the lines, I F my first B with my N. I F the N B and passed it to my N.
Mm-mm-mm.
On the radio, this is a top 10 song in the country for African children.
That's disgusting. That's just really disgusting. And again, we like to provide evidence. We don't just come on here and talk and about our feelings or anything or make baseless allegations towards anyone. We do the research, and Brother Kwabena does the research. And so I'm just going to give y'all an example of what he just talked about. These corporations, these music corporations targeting our youth with this garbage murder music. So check this out. Rap Rehab, which is one of the media properties that Paul Porter has put out. Shout out to Brother Paul Porter. But he published an article. Well, he shared an old article. Let me pull it up. I'm not sure if this is old. I think this came out. Yeah, this came out earlier in August. August the 21st, 2016. All right. It's the article says, Billboard reports Little Poppy was not signed to Epic. Is it Poppy or Poopy? Little Poopy, best known for his first 2012 release, I'm a Coke Boy, just signed a 4-year deal with Epic Records. The Brockton, Massachusetts rapper was born Luis Rivera. While his first video grew attention for having a 9-year-old dancing with bikini-clad women more than twice his age, Little Poopy also called himself the Cocaine Cowboy. I think it's Little Poppy. I'm not sure he's calling himself Little Poopy, like he should be wearing diapers or something. But
it's pretty close to that.
Yeah, all of the older friends always underestimate me. They like me now, he told the Brockton Enterprise. I just want them to know what I'm coming for the top. They better be ready. So, okay, I'm not sure if he was signed to Epic Records or not. Okay, I think, is Epic part of the Sony branch?
I should know that. I think so.
And okay.
I don't think it is. Is it L.A. Reid signing? Is somebody L.A. Reid in there?
No. Epic didn't sign him. So that was what they were saying, is he was signed by Sony. Okay, so Sony Music Entertainment is an American label and company owned by Sony through Sony Entertainment. The company was first founded in 1929 as American Record Corporation and renamed Columbia Record Corporation in 1938 following its acquisition by Columbia Broadcasting System. Let me blah, 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 go over some of the history. In 2004, Sony Music Entertainment and the Bertelsmann Music Group merged to become Sony BMG Music Entertainment, although later in 2008, Sony acquired BMG stake and the company reverted to the Sony Music Entertainment name. So, again, and let me see, some of the other ones that they own is the second largest, let me read this. Sony Music Entertainment is one of the big three record companies, being the second largest after Universal Music Group. I think 2 Chainz is with them. Remember his disgusting video birthday song or something like that. And ahead of Warner Music Group. So this is a child. This is a child. He's only around 15 years old. This is a child. How is this not corrupting? What's some of the charges that a police can charge you with contributing to the delinquency of a minor?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
So, what's going on here? Why isn't anyone other than people like yourself, other than the people over at Rap Rehab with Paul Porter, and, you know, of course, myself and the people who work with me through the Black Talk Media Project. How is this only news to us? And why are we the only ones that see a problem with this? And one quick thing before you comment. Again, This is just disgusting. How do you feel good about yourself as a woman dancing half naked in a video with a little boy sexually objectifying you? What kind of, is that how your mama raised you? Or I mean, really? Come on, people. I don't want, what I want us to do, while we do want to focus on who is most to blame, we cannot ignore our own roles in this. We don't have to use our free will to sell out for butter biscuits and engage in this immoral action, okay? Just because it's mainstream to be immoral and these corporations will pay you a lot of money. So, I mean, Brother Quabbin, I stay angry, but I try to temper my anger so that it don't cause me health problems. But I'm getting angry right now, bro.
We got to do that, Scotty. One Sunday morning, I listened to that ratchet music, man, on these stations, monitoring the stations. It messed up my whole day. So I have to balance. I got to balance that with, you know, thinking about Curly on the Three Stooges or something, or watching some Fred Sanford, man, or come up with nicknames for these fools. Because you got to balance this, man. It's so crazy. Sometimes you got to laugh to stop from crying. You know, when you look at this stuff, man. You mentioned two slave chains. I mean, they bring him down here for a concert with Chance the Rapper, because Chance the Rapper is supposed to be the darling of consciousness, but yet he brings in Lil Stane, Two Slave Chains, and Young Slug to White Sox Park, and nobody gets White Sox Park, but you get it and you bring in those ratchet rappers. And this, he has a song off right now called MFing Right with him and Lil Wayne. He talks about putting a potato on a gun and using it as a crude silencer. The girl's with him about to go home to her man, but she got his residue from his penis on her mouth, and she's gonna be going on kissing her man. That's in the song he has out now that they play, MF and Right. So he hasn't stopped. And you know, people like, okay, he may not be the culprit in this one, but people like L.A. Reid, who knows good music, he was with the deal. You know, when right before they start downplaying our bands, he was part of one of the baddest bands of the 80s, along with Babyface.
Right.
And he puts out this crap. He supports this crap. He gets Bobby Smurda this contract. And, you know, again, and now he's locked up in prison, in jail, for snitching on himself. And you know, L.A. Reid was nowhere around when that happened. But, brother, you mentioned that, you know, we were the only a few of us are doing this. And one of the reasons why I think, man, we let so much of this crap happen, because the music started sounding so bad that a lot of us turned it off. A lot of us stopped listening to it. We put our heads in the sand. But our children were still listening to it. And that's one of the things we point out when we say, if you know that porno is downstairs in your house, do you just simply just go upstairs to your room and watch something different while your children are exposed to that porno downstairs? No, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. You make sure that stuff is off and they'll have no access to that in your house. But we don't seem to understand that this is the same thing that's taking place with this ratchet music. But right now, man, we got together with CEMOTAP, with the National Black Leadership Alliance, and we're saying turn off killer radio. We're saying on the 15th of October, we're turning it off. We got groups, man, working with us now out of Philly, out of Atlanta, out of Detroit, Kansas City, St. Louis. Again, we're in L.A. tomorrow with the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People, CEMOTAP there, and all over the country right now. And we're saying turn this crap off. On the 15th of October. We want to turn it off before then, but that's when we're asking our people to turn their radio, the killer stations off. We're asking the parents, if you have any say-so on what your children listen to, what your young adults listen to, let them know that's the campaign. We're asking them to turn that crap off. But we're also demanding that the radio stations and their enablers, which are their sponsors, we're demanding that they stop it. If they don't, we're going to see you. We're going to demonstrate. And as a matter of fact, we're demonstrating on the 15th at McDonald's. McDonald's is the largest sponsor, so that's where we're hitting them up again on the 15th of October. So this is a nationwide initiative, a nationwide campaign to turn off killer radio. Enough is enough.
I couldn't agree with you more. We do have a caller. Caller, give me just a second. I want to bring up something before I forget. So with the killing of Keith Lamont Scott in Charlotte, North Carolina, there have been a number of protests. And let me make no mistake, there's somebody always getting killed by slave catchers in this country. There are too many black bodies in the street. And I would go further than that and say there are just too many Americans dead in the street. okay, of all different classifications. So let me just say that. But while I'm looking at the black community, and yes, there were others who stood in solidarity with the black community in the face of yet more of these extrajudicial murders on the street, while all of this was going on, I think we actually talked to you about it the last time you were on the program 2 weeks ago about Meek Mills. Remember, we were talking about Meek Mills and his cousin got killed and whatnot. And so since that time, even with these massive protests that have been going on, Meek Mills, Benny Siegel, and I forgot who the other person was.
The game.
Out of LA. I'm looking at these fools at each other's throats. While everybody, when they should, you know, like, take a pause, dude. Take a pause. Don't you see all this going on and all these young people out there in the street? Yet you up here on Twitter trading insults and stuff like that about another black man. I mean, just disgusting.
Game even commented on that. He said, well, I need to stop doing this, but they kept it up, man, it's because the game even commented. He said, I need to stop doing this with all this going on. But, you know, man, we gave a report about that killing, about the killing of the brother in Los Angeles, Kid Cali, whatever his name was, about the other killing at the Young Sleazy concert, about the other things going on. And our brother Law made a point. He said, man, can you imagine if Smokey Robinson was having shootouts, him and the Miracles was having shootouts with the Temptations or the Dramatics? Can you imagine Barry White and Isaac Hayes going at it? You know, can you imagine?
That's crazy.
You know, yeah, can you imagine having them shooting each other or threatening to kill each other, Anita Baker and Whitney Houston, we're going to kill you, B. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't. I can't imagine.
This is what's going on today.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So let me bring this caller on. Caller, I'm at the top of the hour. Let me take a very short station identification break, and then we'll come back to the caller. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News on the Black Talk Radio Network, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Stay tuned. I will be right back with Brother Kwabena and your call on the other side.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio for the masses.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Coming up on the network at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time will be a broadcast, live broadcast of Tando Radio Show. And at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time tonight will be Sister Cece, who you just heard on that promo for the Black Talk Media Project, Blacks in Business Radio. Her and Brother Robert Minor X host that show, Blacks in Business Radio. It will be on live tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure y'all tune in and bring some friends. All right, let's go to the phone line, area code 719. Thanks for hanging in there patiently. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Good day, Brother Scotty Reed.
Good day to you.
Kwabena.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, I love this conversation y'all on. I try not to comment on things I don't have any know about. This particular subject I do. Brother Scotty Reed, to answer your question, to work backwards on this, Epic Records is an auxiliary of Sony.
Oh, it is?
So, yes, sir, it is. It's one of their little baby labels, as they call them in the industry. Another thing I wanted to comment on is, Brother Kwabena, I think you hit it right on the head, you know, the psychological effect that the music is causing on our children. And the reason why I'm weighing in on this, I myself happen to have recorded music professionally for over 30 years myself. I left it. Some of my friends are producing some of them guys you're talking about right now. I'm not going to name drop on none of them, but they're behind, their production is behind a few of them guys. And I was invited a couple of times throughout the development of some of those guys' careers. One of the things I realized kept me from wanting to go any further with it was seeing the change in, you know, in-house during the production. That's when you really get to see all this stuff come together. You know, I call it the copy and paste generation. It's a lot of, I guess to make things seem, to try to help bring together what y'all talking about, is that it's a lot of that promoted first, and this is where I had to take responsibility for myself, because I had to go listen to my own production in that time, in that era of, you know, the so-called gangster rap era. I grew up in hip-hop from its inception, far as I'm concerned. So I myself was a part of that change gradually, because I think we all seem old enough to be able to say that, when, you know, I had to tell my daughter them this, that I apologize because we taught y'all how to pop that P in, you know, how to pull the trigger. And, you know, even though, just to be quite honest, I would say 100% of us wasn't living that life. You know, so that was really the sad thing about it, is that we actually helped sell something that we ourselves knew consciously was not a good image, but we were living in the moment.
Would you say it's still like that to a certain extent?
Say again, sir?
Would you say it's still like that to a certain extent, that a lot of them still ain't living that life, that's saying they're living that life?
I say it's 150% correct, because I myself, not putting myself out there too much, I myself am a product of the hustle life, seriously. You know, I did my time, paid my debt to society, as they say, as a slave. Scotty, I love how you put that, because that's really what's going on in there. I was in there at one point. I would say straight up, yeah, because I remember when the dialect and the conversation and the narratives changed in my very own music. That's why I brought up hip-hop being the origin of it all. And I think we'll all agree today that there is no hip-hop out there. And just to even say rap is not even a correct conscious word, because who are we relating to?
Mm-hmm.
Really, this is just chant music. It's just music where I seen it in an interview with Sway, one of them guys that didn't even catch his name. But he said it himself, why should I worry about saying something? All I need is a bottom bass beat.
Right.
Wow. And to be able to mumble.
Yeah, no, I'm saying creatively we got to be able to do that in order to make it sell. You know, so I think the brother just told the truth, even though it looked kind of, you know, it really did look asinine. But that's one of the things I love about you, Scotty. You say that's the whole reason why we can't shoot each other down, because I am one of the black men who get angry about it. But I have to remind myself, I played a part in it. And the only thing I can do at this point is reverse, or not reverse, but actually deviate the course that I once was on, and just continue to try to show through my action day to day. Fortunately, I've been straight in my life for the last 16 years. And I managed to avoid that, you know, getting in business for myself. So a lot of times we try to talk to the young guys, particularly when they're looking for rap careers, because a lot of them will come to me, because relatively I'm still, in their words, a local talent that they respect. And I won't work with a lot of them.
Can you tell us what city you're from, at least?
Oh, yeah, sure. But I don't even mind sharing my name, because I'm an active anti-racism white supremacist. All my neighbors know that, white or black. They don't. I let them know. I don't have a problem. My name is Ramon Alexander. My stage name is L.A. And my group several groups I produce independently. The last one being 719 by way of this area code. The first group being The Dark Side. I was a solo act myself. You know, I funded myself through this stuff. We actually got looked at by major labels. One of the guys out of my group right now is promoting Bitcoin for all those guys. E40, you name him, he's behind them. And me and him often have conversations. And, you know, I just tell him, hey, man, I can't get with that. It just don't, you know, it's not right that y'all think it's cool to say that, well, this is what they want to hear.
No, what it is, bro, that's what they're being force-fed. And you get to thinking you like it because you hear it so much. You hear 15, 20 times a day on two or three slop-hop stations that target your area. So, man, you right, man. But check us out, man. Check out Clear the Airways Project. We need warriors and people like you who have that experience. You know what's going on. But I do want to say that, because I was talking about this with another brother this morning, there are plenty of brothers and sisters out there who, despite the fact that in this current environment, they will not get any play on the radio, they will not get any push by these corporations, but they still continue to make music that does not disrespect their people, that's still conscious, that's still about having fun, still about love, still about revolutionary thoughts and ideas, and they refuse to make that garbage, because we do a conscious hip-hop show, and again, we don't have enough time to play all the good new conscious music that's coming out, that's still out there, that sounds good. So we just want to make sure we got that point. Now, there's a lot of ratchet folks, because that's what they hear. So if I hear the ratchetness of the ignorance, that's what I'm going to put out too, in a way, because I think if I'm confused, because I want to make that money.
Brother Quabner,
you got to give a lot of love to the others, though.
Brother Quabner, you want to give him your email address or ways he can contact you if he so decides?
Brother Scotty Reed, can I say this to both of y'all? Because I was actually going to put myself out there like that.
Okay.
Particularly, I have 25 years of engineering. I would love to figure out how I could work with you on helping you. I've been listening to your platform on all the shows. I've taken time to go through all the shows, and I realize you must be their main engineer. I was like, well,
I am.
Do it all. So,
he does it all.
I was like, let me see if I can at least help the brother some way, somehow. I've never worked on internet radio per se. Most of my stuff is, you know, truly tracking. That's what we do. You know, we control the boards and we produce artists. Brother Quabner, I would love to send you some, since you say you appreciate conscious rap, I'm not going to call it that. I'm going to just call it something that says, hey, man, let's talk about real life. So that's the type of music I put out. I don't put it out on a public platform. My family and friends hear it. They want me to put it out, but I won't put it into that platform that's out there. I'd love to give them to you to use how you want to promote your stuff, whatever, you know. That's what I'm saying. For me, this is why I'm calling y'all show, to be a part of it.
Oh, most certainly. Yeah, you are correct in your assessment. I'm the main engineer. There's a couple of programs where they engineer their own, but it's not hard. If you know how to work, you know, studio recording equipment, hey, I'm on a small mixer, I'm on a four-channel mixer, and I got a dynamic microphone. The key is on I actually copyrighted a manual on how to wire it for internet radio. So I could, if you would like to volunteer and help us, man, I'll send you the manual, and we can talk.
Yes, sir, I would. That's exactly, because I was going to ask you, do you know how to do the screen sharing so you could show me how to do the platform, and you could tell me what hours. Hey, Ramon, can you be available these hours? And I would definitely do it. But here's my email if you're ready, or I can go on hold until you're ready. Write it down. And Brother Quabner, I would love yours, and I can send you some
material.
Yes, I'm
ready.
Okay, you can get us at clearairwaves@gmail.com, or you can check the Facebook page at Clear the Airwaves Project. That's like ocean waves.
Clear the Airwaves. Okay.
And man, get up with us, man, about the 15th of October, too, because, again, we got cities all over the country. We need some more to have these press conferences and let the people know we ain't standing for this crap no more. And then we can start having more conscious music, more fun music being played out there for the people, for our youth.
Mm-hmm. So my email address, if it'll be easier, if you just email me, and then I can send you. I got videos that I've done and what have you. I do one-on-one training as well. But the email is just simply admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. I do have one question. I have interviewed a couple of artists. One in particular, she was a protege of Chuck D. He had a girl group. I can't remember the girl's group now, but she became a solo artist, and she was living in Charlotte at the time by the name of Cleo Jones. And she used to have a radio program years ago that I used to engineer for her. And she had told me that she had a deal with Universal, and they came to her. And she's very conscious sister and what have you, into fashion. She makes her own clothes and whatnot, but it's like the earthy kind of clothing and whatnot. People might call it hippie clothing or whatnot. Sort of like Erykah Badu style and what have you. So she said that they came to her and told her that she need to show more skin on stage and in video. Like, you know, they wanted her to be half naked and what have you, and she refused to do it, and they ended up canceling her deal. Had you heard any similar stories like that?
Are you talking to me, Brother Scotty?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, sir, it's been many of those type of, like I just said, I'm one of those people. I've turned down offers, you know. I still get them from people. I turn them down, you know, just because I don't have a desire to give in to a behavior that I've always never given into in the first place. And when I found myself doing it, to be quite honest, Brother Quadner, I would challenge us to research how much are the sales within these overwhelming amount of images that get thrown on us. I guarantee you, the highest selling person, even in the independent realm, probably is only selling maybe 20,000 copies of this stuff. So it tells me that the record company is willing to cut off their nose despite their face. They ain't making no money off them. So
that's what we hear. That's what we hear. That's what we hear.
You know, so I was just going to say, Brother Quadman, to me, that's an all-out declaration of war, you know, on the genre. And something I did want to point out, if you don't mind me taking just a few seconds more, is that something I had a discussion with some people about one time was that if you look at the three main genres of music that brought the world together in diverse moments, it was jazz, rock and roll, and hip hop. Here's a pattern I noticed. With jazz, they were able to take it over. With rock and roll, they were able to take it over. So our faces were removed so they could comfortably represent that music without challenge. And what I saw with rap was there was no real way they could take it from us. So what they did was came in and blended. And now you got these little dickies that, you know, these type of people who just really make it look like the Three Stooges, you know, of what we supposed to call rap music. I'm just being honest.
That's a good way to put it. Again, like I said, we get some comedy out of it. You said like the Three Stooges, and I just think about like three rappers out of Atlanta. Sometimes I name names. I think about like Young Slug, No Future, and Poor Homie Quan. You know, just the way all three of them rap, and you know the content of what they say. And it's just, and I'll tell the regular name, Young Thug, Rich Homie Quan, and Future. Just put those three together like in a group, and just listen to what they say, and how they rap. You know, how they mumble pretty much the rap, and how incoherent it is, and just how ignorant and negative and violent and horrific and destructive what they put out there is. It's mad. But that's what's promoted and pumped and pushed to the masses, because you're right, it's not so much more about money right now. It's about putting that mindset. It's about destroying the psyche of a people, of a generation of people. And again, if we don't stop them from dealing with our children like that, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, again, we got almost 12 people getting shot every day in Chicago. And it's just 12, 11.9 of them look like us, getting shot every day.
Yeah. Brother Quabin, I feel like they priming them for continuous free labor on the slave plantation. That's part of it. They want to promote criminality. They want to promote low self-esteem or no respect for one's culture, family, and community, because they want to keep the prison plantations, you know, that pipeline going, and this is playing a role in it. That's the way I feel.
Hey, Brother Scotty.
Yes, sir.
If I could enlarge on that, one thing I will say that, you know, that really helps me to understand those images, I would challenge all of us who are of a certain age. I'm in my 40s. I'm 43.
I'll be 50 in November.
Okay, so then you and I could probably agree that one of the reasons I ended up in prison, I'm not going to lie, some of that just became a anthem. You couldn't even say you was a D-boy if you didn't have some stripes of saying, yeah, I took some hits from the laws or whatever.
Okay.
It was really a culture. You know, so I don't want to lie about it. You know, I want us to be honest and say that only way we can solve it is if we really look at how did we carry the torch mm-hmm. with this music.
Right.
And I myself, I'm not a victim. I tell people that all the time. I'm not a victim of going there. I'm a victim of the things that I picked up that I knew well long before I did was not going to go in the right direction. So I was conscious about my behavior. And so I never want to give anybody the impression that I wasn't. What I do know is that I at some point started singing guns and hoes and, you know, whatever you want to say. I mean, I just, one reason I had to check myself on not tripping on my children's music, because I really was. And then sometimes listening to that music, I was taking it personal, like hearing Lil Wayne, you know, oh, take your girl and do this to her. And then to add to that, how reality can really come to art, or art can make reality.
Mm-hmm.
Did we forget about the situation with Trey Songz and the girl he was cheating with and her boyfriend killed her?
No, I didn't even hear about that one. That's something.
These are the things we don't talk about. And that's what I'm saying. We do have to be willing to look at ourselves and say, hey, look,
I agree.
You know what? And Trey Songz love calling himself the what is this little moniker he called himself? Take your girl dude or something. I mean, these things seem cute when we getting paid and all the women are running around us and everybody calling our names. And then the minute, like you said, and I called it the same thing, everybody in rap snitches on themselves. And that's exactly what Bobby Smurda did. And as many more have done it.
Wow, man, it's good, man. I'm glad you chimed in with us, brother, today. It's like there's a lot of work to do, man, but we can do it. And again, our goal, as we've been saying, is to get it out by the end of the year. And then with this coalition coming together, this Turn Off Killer Radio initiative campaign, and followed up, you know, if not, or else, you know, we're gonna hit your stations and hit your sponsors. We feel that's gonna make a difference. And we got the Now Protest app going straight to the FCC chair. We got the people now getting being more aware of what's going on. We're taking our heads out of the sand because, brothers, people like you, like Scotty, spreading that word. But we need more. We need to get more of that word out there. So, man, appreciate y'all, bro. And the struggle continues, man. And we'll, Scotty, we'll call you, bro. Give you an update, man, how it goes in L.A. tomorrow, man, because that's where our brother was born. And we got to get that area together on this crap, because it's been decimating us all over.
Yes, sir. And if you can also put me in touch with Bob Law, send me his email. I would love to have him come on possibly next week at the earliest.
He's been hitting it, man. I've been like just been amazed at the information he's been sharing. He's ready for you, so I'll definitely hit you up with it.
Okay. Caller, did you have any? Brother, say your name again. Sorry about my memory.
Hey, no problem, Scotty. I'm just like you. my government name is Ramon Alexander, but y'all can find me on Facebook or
How would you Twitter like me to address you?
Say again, sir.
How do you want me to address you?
You can call me Ramon. I'm fine with that.
Okay, Ramon. It was great talking to you, and thank you for reaching out to me on the work that we're doing through the Black Talk Media Project, and I definitely look forward to working with you on that, and possibly even launching a radio station where you are.
Well, look, you don't know how instrumental you've been in my life over the last 35 days, so I can tell you, you made me want to take the leap, because I want to be a part of what you're doing, and I'd like to offer whatever skills and talents I have that can help it go further.
All right.
And donations. So, you know, it's not limited to just my skills. So we plan on getting on board. When I say we, I'm talking about the people here in Colorado Springs. So you can definitely know y'all on the map with us, and I'm sharing the station. But Brother Scotty, before I go, I would like to say this. You said something that I don't think neither one of us actually went in on. I've had the conversation with my wife before about this. The women, I have to get them to understand that if y'all keep supporting this, meaning if y'all get up and dance to this, this is why it keeps getting made.
Mm. Right.
The women got to stop dancing to it, for real.
Let me add one more thing to address that before I get out, too. There was a song in Chicago by a local rapper that said, "I will never wife her. I will only one-nighter. Women are full of lies. I just F them and pass them to my guys." That was one of the top club songs in the Chicago area a couple summers ago. And brother, you are absolutely right. You see, he talked about the five different things that we're confronting, but when we're dealing with this issue, if the parents' fault, just turn it off, or they just trying to make money. And one of them, those sisters always say, "They ain't talking about me." And we always tell them, "They are talking about you. They don't know you. They're talking about you."
Yeah.
You know, they may tell you they ain't. Come on. And there's plenty of sisters out there who don't. I talked to a lot of them. They don't deal with that, but too many do. So, brother, you're right, man. It's just, you know, the struggle continues, but we're going to win this one.
All right. All right. So, as we get ready to wrap it up, Brother Quabner, did you have any final comments? And when I say wrap it up, I do want to let the listeners know I'm going to go over some of the news we share in BTR community, just some things that I want to bring to your attention. But as we get ready to close out this segment, Brother Quabner, did you have any final thoughts you would like to leave us with?
Yeah, man. I just check out Clear the Airways Project on Facebook. We need warriors. We need cities to come with us. We got a lot, but we need more to come with us and tell these mass media beasts that you're going to stop playing this disrespectful murder music, this illicit drug music, this stupid materialistic music, this misogynistic music, this self-hating music on our children. We're going to stop it, and we're going to make sure you stop it. So we need cities to join us. So check out Clear the Airways Project, and we're looking forward to working with the people. Scott, I'm looking forward to hollering at you, man, in a couple of weeks, bro. We appreciate you. We're going to get Bob on there with you next week.
All right. Well, keep up the great work and be safe out there behind these enemy lines.
Okay, brother, we'll do it. Way to get Yvette. Yvette ought to be shaming herself.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay, bro.
All right, brother.
All right, peace. All right, Brother Ramon.
Yes, Brother Scotty.
Yes, did you have any final thoughts, sir, you wanted to leave with the listeners?
No, I think you guys did an excellent job doing it. So I appreciate just being able to get a word in on this subject. So,
well, we certainly appreciate you weighing in with your insider knowledge, being that you had experience in that and able to confirm for the listeners that, hey, these guys are not just talking out their asses. You know, there's something to what we're discussing. All right.
No, I think you do a good job. Thank you.
Thank you. And you be safe behind these enemy lines as well, bro.
Same to you, sir.
All right. Listeners, I do want to go.
Is cleared.
I do want to go over some news of the day. Couple of things that I want to point out, especially this Donald Trump thing that's coming up about him doing illegal business in Cuba. And now you got Hillary Clinton going after him and people calling for him to be prosecuted for violating U.S. law in the 1990s and doing what they said was illegal business in Cuba. And the reason I want to talk about that is because the Cuban embargo is unjust. It is white supremacist policy that aims to punish black people in Cuba for not raising up and overthrowing their government. Okay? Like they did in the 1950s when they worked with Castro to get rid of Batista. People don't know the hell that people was living under that island back in the 50s prior to the revolution. And so I think for a variety of reasons that this is a story that people need to be aware of, because I'm seeing a whole lot of red baiting. For those that don't know what that term means, that is when you have people in America who talk all this stuff about, oh, communism and you know, these dictators and they don't respect human rights. And again, now, this is a country that's still practicing slavery now. I'm talking about the United States, that want to talk junk, think it has room to point fingers at other nations. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. I am happy that President Obama is working to normalize relations, although the Cuban people have to be careful about that. Because as we see, when Libya normalized relations and entered into an alliance with the United States government, well, y'all see where Muammar Gaddafi is now, right? Oh, we don't even know where he's buried, okay, after they mutilated his body. So, you know, Cuba needs to be careful about making deals with the devil. All right, so you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. I'm going to kick some message music from our brother Sincere Naquari of God Life Beats from his Beat Tape Lecture, Volume 1. I just, y'all may have heard me play this last week, but I love that Untapped Potential featuring Honorable Louis Farrakhan. But I'm going to play it again because it's appropriate to play after the conversation we just had with Brother Kwabena about the Clear the Airways project. And don't forget, October the 15th, Turn Off Killer Radio. Turn off Killer Radio. And I know most of y'all listening don't have Killer Radio on to begin with, all right? But still, help us spread that. Maybe some of your family members do. And just tell them about the campaign. And who knows where planting that seed may lead to in the future. It's all about planting seeds, okay? And sometimes those seeds grow up and they will give you a bounty, okay? It'll give you a bounty, so... All right, we're going to take this break, and then we'll come back. I want to go over a few of the news items of the day. Again, this is Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting on Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Jails in America are being privatized, and they are on the stock exchange, and you don't build a hotel unless you expect occupancy. So when they're building prisons, they want to build them, but they're building them for you.
I look around this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have... Oh, boy.
But now they've got to create a culture in the community that lends to violence, crime, drugs, guns, prostitution, and it's a steady pipeline to prison. Atlantic Records. See, these are the real safeties. They have to be exposed, brothers. You rap, and in your rap, there's a beef with another rapper. And you get real, you know, fiery about it. And you're talking about drilling down.
Around this room, and I see nothing but untapped potential. You have potential. You have.
You want to kill your brother. So that's the kind of rap you're doing. And then the radio stations are complicit. Because if you make something clean, they don't want to play it. So when you come to the record executives with something clean, but it's got a good beat, hey, that's nice, but see, if you keep And keeping it real means keeping it as it is so that it will never change. Come back in the hood riding expensive cars. But your brothers and sisters are dying on your words. And you are aiding in the conspiracy to exterminate the black male. You got to know that at the highest levels of government, they've plotted our demise. Oh, boy.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind these enemy lines. I call USA Inc. So the first story I want to share with you is a story I shared in BTRCommunity.com, our new social media platform for a new Black social experience, one of those safe digital spaces that we have created through the Black Talk Media Project for Black people online. So you'll find a number of stories shared there by the members and whatnot. But here's a couple of articles that I shared there. This is an article that's coming to you from Politic USA. Wait a minute, politicususa.com. And so I saw that they had put out on social media two stories, not just one, but two stories about Donald Trump doing business with, and I'm quoting their headline. Let me just read the headline. It was an article written by a woman by the name of Sarah Jones. It says, buried in the Trump doing business with communist Cuba story is more failure. So they most of this article focuses on his business success or lack of business success or whatnot. But what I'm looking at is what they're how they're demonizing Cuba, which is par for the course, regardless of the fact that CEO Obama has been working to normalize relations with Cuba. It seems like Hillary Clinton and her camp have no problem with throwing those efforts under the bus so that they can, you know, take target practice on Donald Trump or use it to injure Donald Trump. It says that, let me read this. It says, Trump is not the picture of success. He is the picture of a desperate man whose business lost 80% of his value. And to fix this, he illegally did business with a dictator and a murderer, even though he promised Cubans in Florida that we would keep the embargo going to punish Castro. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this garbage, but that gives you a gist of what we're seeing in the news headlines today pertaining to presidential politics. And I don't know who Castro allegedly murdered. I don't know what she's talking about. And in terms of him being a dictator, you know, they said the same thing about Gaddafi. But I don't never hear them use these terms to refer to, like, the king of Saudi Arabia or the queen of England. You know, even though the UK does have a parliament and the queen is basically a figurehead or whatnot, but if you're a U.S. ally, they don't call you a dictator, even though that's might be what you are. And in terms of Saudi Arabia, a country that I actually went to or was sent to as when I was a misguided youth in the United States military and during the Gulf War, I witnessed firsthand the human rights abuses of women in that country. All right. And I mean, that is a very barbaric country. And I know sometimes in our radio station stats, people tuning in from Saudi Arabia, and I don't know who that is tuning in, but yeah, I'm not missing words. Okay, you have a very barbaric country that is enslaving people of color from different countries. Y'all trick them into coming there with all this money, you know, promises of pay, and then they get there and they are enslaved. And I mean, they are brutally treated, beaten, raped, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, whenever I see these people in American media trying to demonize other countries and whatnot, I'm like, you know, this, you have no room to talk. You have to be ignoring a whole lot that's going on in this country to think that you have room to talk about Cuba. As far as I know, and I know people who have been to Cuba, I have even gotten emails from people in Cuba who listen to the radio station. And so as far as I can tell, Cuba does not have the world's largest prison slave labor force. Nobody, not even China, with a billion, almost 2 billion people, does not come close to enslaving people like the United States. We like to talk about all this freedom and liberty. Then how is it that you got 2.5 million people at any time in prison or in jails, and the vast majority of them for nonviolent made up drug laws that you made up that Nixon said was going to be used to target black people and those opposed to the Vietnam War and what have you? And I'm not hearing about reports coming out of Cuba of Cuban citizens, 3.2 Cuban citizens being killed by law enforcement every day. I'm not hearing that. And, you know, like I told another person who was talking about how oppressed the people in Cuba are, as far as I know from what I've been told by people who have been to Cuba, is that there is no homelessness in Cuba. You don't have people sleeping in alleys or sleeping on top of the subway grate trying to stay warm in the winter and all of that. You don't have that going on in Cuba. As far as I have been told, despite the U.S. embargo that has lasted over 50 years, you don't have a whole bunch of people going hungry in Cuba. All right. They are not starving in Cuba. We don't have a whole bunch of homeless families who can't find anything to eat in Cuba. I'm not seeing that. Okay. And another thing is that I may have mentioned this, but again, no homelessness. There's no homelessness. Can we say that about this country? No, we cannot say that about this country. And this embargo is not punishing Castro. It may be punishing him in that it's hurting his people, but make no mistake, the people who are being harmed by this are the regular Cuban citizens, which I think, I'm not sure, but I think the predominant population, if they're not the dominant population, they are a huge part of their population, and that's African descendant people. And so what the embargo is for is to force those people to rise up in a violent rebellion and overthrow their country. But guess what? If I got on these airways every day and I push the oppressed people here in the United States to rise up and violently overthrow this government, what's going to happen to me? What do y'all think is going to happen to me? You think I'm going to be on these airwaves long? No, I am not. So you just think about that as this country tries to force other citizens in other countries to overthrow their governments. Okay? So, it's, again, this is nothing but par for the course. This is nothing but propaganda. I mean, you would think you was in the 1950s during the Red Scare or something like that, with all of this red baiting that is going on, talking about, oh, the dictators and their communists and all of that. Well, if you're so concerned about communism, then why are so many American companies in China exploiting cheap labor? Okay? Why does Apple have factories in China? If communism is so doggone bad now, it's the most evilest form of government on the face of the planet, then why did the United States allow China to buy up a whole bunch of its U.S. Treasury bonds so that it could fund the wars that it's involved in? If it's so bad, if communism is as bad as these people say it is, then why aren't they acting this way towards China? Well, China has a military power that can rival the U.S. It's not going to be a pushover. You're not going to just overthrow it like you did Grenada. You're not just going to run up in there like you ran up in Panama. You're just not going to be able to do it with China. All right. And so, when I see Hillary Clinton and her surrogates out there throwing Cuba under the bus so that they can attack Donald Trump, I'm like, I'm not buying that. And neither should you. Now, Donald Trump, okay, if he broke the law, which they're saying he broke the law in the 1990s during the first Clinton administration, mind you. All right. So if he broke the law in why hasn't he been held accountable? Why is this only being brought up now? I know that one of his campaign team inadvertently mentioned this, but I'm not seeing Donald Trump coming out denying that he broke the law. But listen, the U.S. government, I assure you, they knew about any business he was doing in Cuba. You're not a high profile person like Donald Trump has been, especially during the 90s, and you be able to do this kind of business and people in government, certain agencies don't know about it. Absolutely, they knew about it. But guess what? Donald Trump got two things going for him. No, he got three things going for him. He's white. He's a male, and he got money. And when you had that combination going on, well, you too can escape accountability in the United States. So, as I look at Hillary Clinton escaping prosecution for violating the Espionage Act, as well as the federal record keeping laws and that sham investigation that they did on her, well, she obviously is not going to be held accountable for breaking the law. So, I don't see how, well, hypocrites, they just do whatever. They don't even give no thought to it, or whether or not it makes them look like hypocrites. But I mean, hell, Donald Trump is in the same classification as her and her husband. okay? And so he's escaping accountability. He got privilege. He got that white skin immunity, just like Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton got that white skin immunity. So while we got 2.5 million people at any given time during the year who are in on one of these prison plantations, which, by the way, shout out to the people on the plantations who are striking right now, entering into the third week of strikes, prison strikes, and not working, and some of them going on hunger strikes. So, you know, we got all these people. We got Donald Trump talking about law and order and all of this and that. Okay, but these people never see the inside of a prison plantation, jail cell. They just don't. So that's what I'm seeing here. I'm seeing just continued hypocrisy, the continued oppression of non-white people all over the planet. The embargo has failed. Those people are not turning on their revolutionary leader. They're not going to rise up in a violent revolution like they did in 1959 when they got rid of the U.S. puppet, Batista, who was a very, very brutal dictator. So again, you know, when I hear these people talk about calling people brutal dictators, and I know the United States, long, long history of supporting brutal dictators, even overthrowing democratically elected presidents so they can install a brutal dictator. Okay, so that's all I got to say on this. I just find it interesting, you know, that these people, and I actually had commented on that, and I had this woman come at me, and she was like, "What? I don't understand. What are you talking about? I thought President Obama lifted the embargo." No, he has not lifted the embargo. He has done what he could do through the executive branch and normalize certain relations, like, you know, allowing American companies to operate airline flights and stuff to the island, and some other things. But the law is still in place. U.S. businesses should not be able to still go in there and do business unless they get a special license from the State Department and what have you. And it may turn out that Donald Trump got one of those, but everybody's trying to keep that on the down low and what have you. All right. So let me see. Another thing that I want to take a look at. I want y'all to take a look at this article, "The Criminalization of Black People, a Billion-Dollar Industry." This again goes back to the conversation we just had, and it is on Rap Rehab. Rap Rehab, again, this is a platform, independent black media platform operated by Paul Porter, and this is an article by Sebastian Elkoby, and he just talks about the music industry, about what we just got through talking about with Brother Kwabena in relation to Clear the Airways Project. So I thought that was a good article for people to check out. And somebody shared another article about the secret meeting that changed rap music and destroyed a generation. I am aware of that letter and what have you, but I have not found any corroborating evidence. That doesn't mean that it's not true, and I'm talking about the letter that somebody found in the industry where they were wanting to push gangster rap as a way to further criminalize black people so they'll be engaging in activity that's going to lead them to a prison plantation. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that. I was aware of that. Speaking of the national prison strikes that's going on that mainstream media has not reported on, again, shout out to Democracy Now! For their in-depth and continuous reporting. Also, shout out to Black Agenda Report for covering it as well, and the Real News Network. I got a question for Breaking Brown in Your Black World. Where are y'all articles on this national historic prison strike? I hope y'all ain't invested in private prisons, and that's why y'all not reporting on this. You claim to be independent black media, but I've been watching you since these strikes started on the 45th anniversary of the Attica prison rebellion, and I'm not seeing anything from you. And I have to ask the question, why? You got something to say about every damn thing else? Why you ain't talking about this historic, perhaps the largest, and I'm not calling them slaves, but that's, you know, y'all know the terminology, slave rebellion. This is possibly the largest rebellion, we'll just say, the largest rebellion of enslaved victims in U.S. history. This is a lot. How can you, and don't tell me you don't know about it because you're on Facebook and it's being widely shared on Facebook. So I just got that question. Anyway, speaking of the prison strikes that are ongoing, I am on itsgoingdown.org. Itsgoingdown.org, which has been doing a great job in providing updates from all around the country about this rebellion against prison slavery in this country. It's a very short article, but this prison strike has garnered international support. Last week I saw some people in Africa, I think it was South Africa if I'm not mistaken, who were holding demonstrations in solidarity with those on the prison plantations here in the United States. And here is from a very unlikely source, Athens, Greece. So let me read this article. It was published today. In the early hours of Sunday, September the 25th, a group of comrades participated in the street clashes erupting at Tosita Street outside the Polytechnic in, how do you pronounce this? I can't pronounce this name of this city, but it's in Athens. So now again, I'm just reading the article. I don't condemn anybody's tactics when they're attacking the system of slavery, whether they be nonviolent or violent. I don't condemn them. I know people are always looking for us to condemn violence, but hell, I don't see them condemning the violence. And I always go back to Martin Luther King Jr. The United States is the greatest purveyor of violence on the face of the planet. All right, so it says that we attacked with Molotovs and stones against the cops, not only for what they are, puppets of the state, but also to send strength and solidarity to those fighting inside U.S. prisons. We act against those who capture on the streets, as the prison rebels act against those who keep them locked in cages. We stand together with all those who take action and revolt, wherever they might be, by all means necessary. Let's abolish with violence what was imposed on us with violence. Solidarity means attack. And that is signed by the Holman. So this is a group, looks like anarchists, who are in Athens, Greece, and expressing solidarity with those in the United States who have risen up against their enslavement on these prison plantations. All right, so that's the last story that I would like to share with you today. Tando Radio Show is coming on air here, and I just want to say thank you again to Mr. Marcus Walker for coming on and sharing his community project to bring healing to the community, to bring peace to the community. As always, Brother Kwabena, love what you do. Always supportive of Clear the Airways Project and in parallel organizations focusing on the same issue. All right. So recognize the fact that you do live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., that slavery was never abolished. On October the 7th, there will be a film debuting on Netflix called The 13th. Please check that film out. Go ahead and sign up for Netflix now and get that 30 days free. Then you can watch it for free, you know, and then cancel your membership. But I feel like it's very important that we, in large numbers, express support for this documentary film by Ava DuVernay that will show, like we have been trying to show people for 4 years on this network, that the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery. It just moved it from private hands to public hands, meaning the state. And now it's back in private hands with the use of private prisons. Anybody can invest and become a modern day slaver. Don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Don't be that person. Because I'm here to tell you, by any means necessary, will we overthrow the evil system of slavery, which should have been done in 1865, if not for the betrayal of that evil, manipulative person they call Abraham Lincoln. With that said, y'all be safe. Peace and blessings to all. Stay tuned for Tando Radio Show. This is Scotty Reed. I'm out.